Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and thank you for listening to us today. I am pleased to welcome you for the sixth and last episode of this webcast podcast series hosted by the EU Japan Center for Industrial Cooperation. Each of the episodes tell you more about the EU Japan Economic Partnership Agreement and focus on explaining some specific rules of origin with practical examples. Our expert for this podcast series, Roger Tene, is a fiscal expert who has been dealing with provincial origin for more than 20 years, not only in his own country as a public servant, controlling and giving assistance to economic operators, but also in different foreign countries as a speaker in several provincial origin workshops organized by the EU Commission. Before we start, please note that a visual support has been released along with this podcast, so feel free to consult it during or after this audio file. And now, without further ado, I will leave the floor to Mr. Tene, who will tell you more today about cumulation possibilities.
So, thank you, Mrs. Lalou. So, as you already said, welcome to the sixth and last podcast. And the topic we will tackle today is cumulation. It will perhaps be a bit surprising for you, but we will start with another subject, outward processing, which will, of course, lead us to the cumulation. For all the podcasts, you had the possibility to download two files, an audio file and also a PowerPoint presentation. In most cases, the audio file was perhaps sufficient, but I think that for this podcast, the PowerPoint presentation will be an added value, because several schemes in this PowerPoint presentation will facilitate the comprehension. So what is outward processing? It was called in the past procedure with economic impact, such as customs warehouse or inward processing. And now it belongs to the special procedures, as it is called now in the Union Customs Code. To make use of this procedure, you need a customs authorization, which allows you to export temporarily materials that are in free circulation in the EU. These materials will undergo a working in the third country, and at the re-import of the processed products, duties will be paid only on the added value in the third country. In other words, on the cost of the processing. To illustrate this, I have taken two examples. The first example is a case where the outward processing takes place in a third country that does not have any agreement with the EU. We have a temporary export from the EU of a cotton fabric in free circulation and a manufacture of shirts in a third country. At the re-import of the shirts into the EU, import duties must be paid only on the manufacture costs and on the potential elements added by the contract worker, such as yarn, buttons, or zippers. The second example is a case where the outward processing takes place in a third country that has an agreement with the EU, so an origin agreement with the EU. This can be Japan, of course, but also any other country that has an agreement with the EU. We have, as in the first example, a temporary export from the EU of a cotton fabric in free circulation and a manufacture of shirts in a third country. The manufacture of shirts does not fulfill the origin rule. To obtain an originating product, the manufacture of shirts must start from yarn. This is not the case because it starts from a fabric. There is no difference with the first example. At the re-import of the shirts into the EU, import duties must be paid only on the manufacture costs and on the potential elements added by the contract worker. These two examples will help us to move smoothly to the bilateral cumulation. Bilateral means that only two countries are involved and that the system works in both ways. Bilateral cumulation is not only possible between the EU and Japan, but between the EU and any other country that has an origin agreement with the EU. From the EU point of view, bilateral cumulation can be considered as an outward processing in a country that has an origin agreement with the EU, and this can offer some advantages. But some requirements must be fulfilled to benefit from these advantages. The exported materials must be originating and must be exported with a proof of preferential origin. The working in the third country must go beyond the insufficient workings. There is no obligation to fulfill the sufficient working in the third country. And as the EU materials have been exported with a proof of preferential origin, these materials are assimilated to local materials in the third country. So the conclusion is that the finished product can benefit from the preferential origin status at the re-export from the third country, and a preferential treatment will be granted at the re-import of the finished product into the EU. Let us take again the previous example, but in this case, the cotton fabric is exported from the EU with a proof of preferential origin. In the partner country, the working does not fulfill the origin rule, but goes beyond the insufficient workings. As the imported materials can be assimilated to the local materials thanks to the proof of origin issued in the country of export, the finished product, the shirts, can benefit from the preferential origin. And at re-import, preferential treatment will be granted. This example works also, of course, in the reverse way. You can find different schemes in the PowerPoint presentation to illustrate all this. As already said, the bilateral cumulation is not a specificity of the economic partnership agreement with Japan. It is possible with every partner country. Besides the bilateral cumulation, the EU has a possibility of full cumulation with some countries, with the Maghreb countries, with Canada, and also with Japan. In the EPA, in Article 3.5, paragraph 2, they say the following. Production carried out in a party on a non-originating material may be taken into account for the purpose of determining whether a product is originating in the other party. So this means that to obtain the preferential origin status, it is possible to take into account two processings, one in each party. Full cumulation can start either in the EU or in Japan. In our example, it starts in the EU. And here are the different steps. The first step is a temporary export from the EU of an in the EU processed product not fulfilling the origin rule after a first processing on third country materials going beyond the insufficient workings. The idea at this stage is already that the in the EU process product will undergo in Japan a second working before a return to the EU. Information has to be given by the EU exporter to the Japanese company about the working that has already been carried out in the EU. Next step is that we have a further processing in Japan, going beyond the insufficient workings and taking into account the first working that took place in the EU. After this second working in Japan, there is a check whether the sufficient working rule is fulfilled after the second processing and taking into account the first processing carried out in the other party. If the answer is yes, the finished product is re-exported from Japan to the EU with preferential origin, and preferential treatment will be granted at the re-import into the EU. Slide 11 contains a scheme illustrating the way it works. And slide 12 is only to show that the process can work in the reverse way, starting the full cumulation in Japan instead of the EU. After having presented the cumulation possibilities existing in the Economic Partnership Agreement with Japan, I have added another existing cumulation possibility you have probably already heard about. And if not, you will surely meet it one day. It is the diagonal cumulation. This type of cumulation is not applied with Japan, but it can perhaps be useful for your company for the trade with other countries. What is diagonal cumulation? In a simple way, I could say that it works a little bit like the bilateral cumulation, but more than two countries are involved. All the countries involved have an agreement with each other. There is an obligation, as in the bilateral cumulation, to export preferential origin materials. There is no obligation in the processing country to fulfill the sufficient working rule, and the materials are assimilated to local materials in the processing country. The processed product will be exported from the processing country with a proof of preferential origin. Preferential treatment will be granted at import of the processed product in the importing country, which will be different from the country that exported the materials. We have in the EU a well-known diagonal cumulation zone. It is the Pan-Euro-Mediterranean zone. In this zone, we have countries such as, of course, the EU, Switzerland, Morocco, Tunisia, Egypt, Israel, Norway, Algeria, Jordan, Palestine, and many other countries. So I will take an example. And my example is based on three countries, Switzerland, EU, and Tunisia. They belong to this cumulation zone, and they have all an agreement with each other. Switzerland with EU, Tunisia with EU, but also Switzerland with Tunisia. The aim of this example on slides 14 and 15 is to show you that the diagonal cumulation can be the last spare wheel solution to benefit from the preferential origin, even if at first glance preferential origin seems impossible. I have in the EU a manufacturer of insecticides of heading 3808. To manufacture these insecticides, I import different chemical materials from Switzerland of a value of 60 euro. My ex-works selling price of the insecticides is 100 euro. As the origin rule is a limit of 50% in value for the non-originating materials, I do not fulfill this rule and I export the finished product to Tunisia without a preferential origin. And there will be no fiscal advantage for the Tunisian importer. So as already said, as the three countries involved are potential countries for a diagonal cumulation, I check whether it is possible to fulfill the requirements linked with a diagonal cumulation. If I can obtain from Switzerland a proof of preferential origin for the chemical materials, these materials can be assimilated to my own materials during the process in the EU. The working in the EU goes beyond the insufficient workings. It is not compulsory to fulfill the origin rule, and the processed product can be exported to Tunisia with a proof of preferential origin, even if I do not fulfill the sufficient working rule. We have reached the end, not only of this presentation, but also of our podcast. For this podcast, we have made a subjective choice of topics with the idea to choose topics presenting some difficulties. I hope that this podcast could, can, and will help you in understanding and applying the economic partnership agreement with Japan. For any further questions, not only on the podcast, but on the whole EPA, there's only one address, the EU Japan Help Desk. Many thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chenet, for your expertise today and throughout this podcast series. And to you listening to us, I hope the different episodes have been useful to you. And as you mentioned, Mr. Chenet, if you have any questions, always feel free to contact the EU Japan EPA Help Desk. Thank you very much for listening.